am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Hello there. Today is December 3rd, 2012, and you are on Purpose Talk Radio. Well, you're listening to Purpose Talk Radio. And once again, Jan Revelle, your normal host, is out sick. So she has me filling in. And this is Cindy Freeman, who normally moderates the conversations page. And so today we have a couple of other people moderating it. And that would be Anna Weber and Sharon Hinckley. And Sharon was on last week, and hopefully she's making it into the show at this point to be able to get on a line and discuss it with you. So today we are hoping to have an audience participation show. And what that would be because of that's what our guest is requesting. So hopefully you're all able to call in right now. And I'm trying to get in touch with her because, again, we have technology issues going on. And I need to get that to her. So the song that was starting our show was True Trinity, I Am Who I Am. And that is by myself, Jillian Clark, and Rachel Martinez. And we all met, as most of you know, down in Florida. So we started that song a couple of years ago, and from there are just moving forward a little bit on that. A couple of the housekeeping issues right now. If you'd like to sponsor Purpose Talk Radio, then you can do that. By going to purposetalkradio.com, and you could sponsor one show, a month show, or whatever you'd like, and be able to be part of this wonderful opportunity as well. And Jan, right now, just so folks know, Jan is doing this all on her own, so we would like to be able to support her in her endeavors as well, so that we can keep listening to Purpose Talk Radio. Let's see here. What other things do we need to have? I'm going to play our song again just in the interest of getting our guest on, and hopefully we can do that real soon. And let's see how we... Technology, I was hoping to be on Skype, and again, it just does not want to do that. So we'll have to see how we can handle technology that just wants to play its little games. And you don't want to hear me singing it anyway. But actually, you can go to, there's two other ways that you can get a hold of Jan. You can get a hold of Jan at janrevelle.com and I'll learn a little bit more about what she does as well. She normally does readings for us. But right now, that is, we're not going to be doing readings today. We're going to be doing readings on specific cards for everybody so that you can help see what's going on. So just a moment here again. We are still working on the technology issue. Sorry, folks. And learning what Blog Talk Radio can and cannot do, or does and does not do. If anyone knows of someone who would like to be on the air with Jan, or you have a specific topic, you can go to our conversations page, and that would be Purpose Talk Radio Conversations at on Facebook. And I also invite you to join us there so that you can be a part of conversations that happen while we are on the air as well. I don't know. Is anybody hearing us again? We seem to not be broadcasting. There we go. Okay, there it is. Our guest today is going to be Jean Lanis, if I can get her to call into the radio show at 347. And if anybody else would like to be on the air today, 347-205-9074. Again, that would be 347-205-9074. So, again, we're not getting to find the information that I need to be able to what I've got here to get anybody on the air or any talking. Boy, oh boy. I think we just need to do a moment of meditation here as we all gather our thoughts for the day too. And as we move out of the gratefulness of the month of November and into the holiday season, many of us end up being more rushed and scattered than usual. And we can take an opportunity to just look at all of the blessings that we've had over the last year. And we can take some deep breaths and acknowledge that for ourselves as well. Okay, I would like to welcome our guest today, which is Jean Lanis, and she lives out here in Wisconsin with me.
I sure do. Hello there, Cindy.
Hi there, Jean. Technology to work, it's wonderful, isn't it?
The technology is great when it works. It's those other times that, you know, but maybe it responds to the breath. How do you like that?
I think so, because breathing energy into anything seems to work these days. So we'll make that happen. Well, what we want to do today, as I said a little bit ago, is you want some folks to talk. But I think before we do that, we need to tell them what they need to talk about. But also in the process of that, I would like to say a little bit of why I wanted you on this show. We have Purpose Talk Radio is one of those things that we've talked about spiritually, mentally, physically, doing whatever we are meant to do in our lives. And with that, sometimes we do what we have to do. Sometimes we get to do what we want to do. And if we're really lucky, we get paid for doing what we want to do. And can live, you know, a nice, amicable lifestyle. Unfortunately, sometimes if it's in the arts or it's in some non-traditional field, that means it doesn't always get to happen quite as readily as we'd like. And I know for you, you've come out of a 30-year career in information technology, working with computers, doing song with people, and now have transitioned into a world of coaching, singing, songwriting, speaking, motivational speaking, and some of the things that you've actually done even in the technology field, is that right? motivating people to do what, or empowering people rather to learn what they need to do to, here we go, on the technology.
Yeah, absolutely, working and empowering people wherever, but technology's changed a lot in 30 years, so bringing the people along with it was a big part of it.
Interesting. Okay. You know, I was not going to go here, but since you brought that up, just as we're looking right now at, you know, putting this radio show on Skype and doing those kinds of things that, you know, I know 30 years ago wasn't even considered. You know, you've gone, like, from mainframes that were a whole room. Mainframes, let's try. I'm throwing jargon in there, sorry, folks. You know, these big boxes that would hold the memory for all the computers in a particular business to, you know, something almost the size of, I don't know if they've gone as small as laptops now for the mainframes, but maybe they have. And just do a brief thing of, you know, how that technology has changed and how it impacted your life just in general, because now I knew you used some of that even in your career with the coaching and things too.
Oh my gosh, yeah, how hasn't it changed? I started in technology because it was a game and it was fun, but the first computer I worked on was probably 6 feet tall and 4 feet deep and 1.5 feet wide, and it produced a little paper tape with holes in it. And so everything you did, you know, you weren't typing on a keyboard. You were actually pulling switches up and down on the front of the computer, one letter at a time. The scary thing is I loved it. It was a game. It was fun. And over the years, different programming tools. I mean, you think Windows and you think iPhones and whatever, and I used BASIC. You ever heard of that? Fortran.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But many haven't. And, you know, this real behind-the-scenes stuff to write programs. And a piece you might not know is some of the earliest programs I wrote actually were in support of music at the conservatory. So just an aside. But, yeah, how it changed, man, they got smaller and smaller. More and more people were able to use them, but then they kept changing. And so, guiding folks to use technologies in ways that supported, in this case, it was the university I worked for, administrative computing at Lawrence University. It was fun. I'm really grateful for that experience because today I get to maintain my website. I get to understand you when you say mainframe and other things and Skype and it's a very powerful tool when used well.
Unfortunately, I do understand the technology. I was told to go into computers back 25 years ago or so, and I couldn't handle it. The machine was beeping at me, telling me there were errors in my Fortran programming, as a matter of fact. And turns out to be, like in English, it turned out to be a comma error. You know, even in computers, just as in English, one little blip can change the whole meaning of things.
You can.
Amazing how much more the big boxes would be impacted by that, though. So I do understand that concept, but I had to get out of it. I couldn't. It wasn't working for me. I couldn't talk to just a machine anymore. So I understand, too, the strain sometimes of trying to be, as our topic is, out of rhythm.
Isn't that the truth? And for me, the job, which I suppose it was a career, but for me it was a game, like I said. But eventually, I was out of step with it. It wasn't working for me anymore. My life wasn't in rhythm. And as good as it had been, and as much as I had grown and changed with it, there came a point where I needed something else. It wasn't serving me. I had grown beyond where my passion for it was. And that was a huge, huge change in my life, to let go of something that had been so much a part of me, perhaps too much at times, and be willing to risk going in a whole different direction.
How did you get into computers, going to school for, and you said you were at the conservatory, so background being music to begin with.
Yes, it was.
There's learning in computers to begin with.
One of many accidents. I did go. One of many, let's see, synchronistic, amazing events in my life. The first computer experience I had was in high school, so I knew about them. Then I went to school for music, the intention of being a choral conductor. And at Lawrence, that meant eat, sleep, drink, music. I mean, that's all you do. And after 2 years, I realized I wasn't going to do that for a career. So I shifted my major, and I got a lesser music degree, and I started playing with other classes. And I took a computer class at Lawrence. And at the end of that semester or term, they were hiring students to help create administrative software for the university. And I just answered an ad for, do students want to work in the computer center? And I never quit.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes, I worked as a student for 2 years, and then the next accident, you know, the job was sort of available at the point that I was seeking a job, and I never left the university. I got married and turned around and went back to work.
Was it a little bit of what you had to do, but also what was available at the time and what was part of you at the time, right?
Absolutely. I mean, even choosing computing as a job at that point felt right. You know, I wanted to work. So getting to stay at Lawrence was pretty nice, actually. I didn't realize, I was pretty gall darn naive, thinking I would be programming in Basic Plus for the rest of my life, and, well, that was quickly gone. Yeah. Very quickly gone, and it turned into a career of ongoing learning. And once I realized that was a piece of what was my world was about, it got easier. But for a while, I was fighting it. It was pretty scary. Ongoing change every time I turned around.
Okay. It's just like we were saying, going from one size to another. Again, I think computers are maybe a metaphor for the rest of our lives, too. You know, constantly changing, constantly adjusting in size.
Constantly trying to address whatever need is showing up there.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm not so sure I'd like to consider them a metaphor for what I'm picturing now, folks, is you've got the Apple, and everybody thinks it's terrific, and so the next thing comes out, you know, the Android operating system, which kind of looks and feels just like the Apple in some ways, right? So we're out there copying and trying to outdo, and I don't know. And it's also all about doing more, quicker, faster. That actually was part of the whole IT scenario that really led me to wanting different, slower, deeper, more meaningful, freer, not commas, will blow your program apart. You know, a little more creative. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So now you've lived a career.
Mm-hmm. In that fast lane, I suppose.
Or that getting faster lane. And kids gone. Probably look at what a lot of people do. What's next? And then I understand a friend of yours was also doing a career change at that point and was asking for your help. Our training? Was that with the...
I don't know.
Something beyond that that changed that made you start looking at something else.
Actually, there were a few things along the way, and I think... if I might share some of those things that really pointed me in the next direction, because I wasn't sure what that next direction would be. I had been saying for a long time, when my kids graduate from college, I will retire. I will have had enough. And that would have been 2006. Leading up to 2006, a friend had pointed me at a whole different spirituality, which in my case was New Thought, Unity, Science of Mind. I suspect our listeners have a clue what some of those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that way of thinking and being really opened some new doors for me. And it was a huge gift, but it was extremely different from where I come from, which I grew up in mainstream religion. So somewhere in the mid-90s, actually, I began a new spiritual walk. And toward the end of the decade, a fellow Unity traveler, dear woman that I think you know by the name of Ginny Stuvey, looked at me one day and said, "Jean, you should write songs." Now, Ginny, I'm a computer programmer. I am not creative, and I don't write songs. You should write songs. Ginny, I play the music that's in front of me, and I sing, but I don't write songs.
And I support you and your ministry, and we're done.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what it's about? And I guess I'm sharing a couple of these pieces of my story because each one of you out there listening has... wonderful folks in your life, messages from the universe. Maybe it's a guardian angel. And those messages are coming. And are we listening? I obviously was trying hard not to listen. And Ginny didn't give up. So finally one day I went, all right, I'm going to try to write a song. Literally, I'm going to try to write a song. And I did. And I shared it with a dear friend, and it was not very good. But she affirmed it was, keep going. And the long and short of it is, songwriting became for me a tool for my own spiritual growth. I found that crafting lyrics was a way of understanding my evolving spirituality. Melody was easy to create. I mean, that became a new game, right? And my computer background gave me the tool to get it into printed form and share it with people. So there was this angel in my life called Ginny Stuvey that got me songwriting, that got me really investing in myself creatively. And that worked, went on. And I thought, maybe this is my next career, right? Maybe this is what I retire into. Well, probably wasn't a lot of money there, folks, but it was, you know, it was good for me anyway. There were other angels, but another one along the way was in 2006, when a woman in my church who was becoming a life coach, her name is Mary Pat, and she told me that and offered me a sample session. That was a real turning point for me. There was this different, I mean, I'd been in counseling, and I'd been doing other things, but this coaching modality opened doors for me and invited me to look at my songwriting as a real part of me, to look at the other gifts that I have. She invited me to say I was a writer, and I started writing for a local magazine. And I still didn't know what my next career would be, and I was still doing IT, but it was getting less and less satisfying. And I wanted more and more and more and more time with this other side of me, this creative side.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many stories, but it was really the day I woke up in 2009 and went, I got it. Now I know. I want to be a coach. And the universe supplied, because I went out checking to see where I would get my training and thought the place Mary Pat went would be a great place to go. And what I read was training starts in 6 days. I've never made a decision like that ever in my life.
Yeah. Logic brain steps aside again.
Say that again?
Logic brain had to step aside and
trust. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and logic brain was pretty gall darn strong for someone who'd been programming for 30 years. But this was, are you ready to invest in yourself to the tune of thousands of dollars? And are you ready to jump right now? And I tried to say no, but I called, and sure enough, the class was full. So full that they had opened up a second session. So, of course, we have room for you. So that was the beginning, and much has happened since then. But it was a series of starting to feel out of sorts with where I was at, trusting a little bit, listening a little bit, experimenting a little bit. And the next clue, the next invitation to something more showed up. And I'm extremely grateful.
Mm. Yeah, I know some people believe in relationships of numbers to things that happen. And it's just intriguing to me that you have the 3 decades for IT. You have the 3 years of wondering, figuring, sitting still from 2006 to 2009. And at this point, you're looking at 2009 to 2012, 3 years in it.
Mm.
And 3 years of schooling. Some believe in the power of the Trinity for that. Some just divine, whatever divine belief there is. I just that was a in fact that was the third three I just heard from you. I knew about the two. I just got the third with the 3 years so that you waited before actually going into it.
It was about 3 years, and it's interesting though, the 3 years, and I don't think numbers the way you're describing, and yet you're pulling out some interesting pieces here. The 3 years that I have been coaching, I guess it's 3.5 now, but let's just say 3.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the coach training and coach practicing, there was a leadership development program in 2010. What I am finding now as I end the first 3 years, right, and move into what's next, is a whole different purpose for why I do what I do, for what's mine to be and do in this world. And I don't I thought I was becoming a coach to empower people to live full lives, to be all they can be. And I am. And that's hugely what I am passionate about, folks, which is why this show gets to move into some inviting you into the conversation, because there's nothing more wonderful than someone digging deep and bringing their truer, wholer, beautiful self into the world. And as I move beyond this next 3-year piece here, I also know that it's so not about Jean being a coach. It's about what is it that Jean is meant to do in service of humanity. It's what is it that you're meant to do in service of humanity? We're not in this alone. We, each one of us, as a citizen on planet Earth, as a member of humankind, there's an evolution going on that is so profound and so amazing, and it's a huge invitation to each and every one of us. So if you're feeling out of rhythm with whatever it is you have been doing, you have believed, you have thought was for you in this lifetime, maybe you're out of rhythm because you're being invited to a bigger view, to a broader perspective.
I want to touch on something that what goes around comes around scenario that includes that. And a lot of the people who are on listening live right now, and probably some of the other people, have heard the true Trinity story, why I got involved with this and everything. But they may or may not remember that your name was brought up way back then when I was asked by Jan to give my story. And part of that, I'm going to synopsis very briefly of that. You and I were at an event and talking and just had no clue who each other was just there to support a mutual friend who was performing, mainly. You selling CDs and being part of the organization and I doing the signing and things like that. And somewhere in the process of our discussion, and we talked about this earlier, I don't even remember the whole scenario of it, which is interesting. But what I do remember was at that point I had said to you, you were talking about songwriting and what you were doing for your church and things. And I said, oh yeah, I wrote a song, but I have no idea if it's a song or if it's anything or what it is that I had gotten Walking a Labyrinth. And like Jenny said to you, you turned around and said to me, write it down and worry about how and why later. And those kind of words can impact anybody, you know, and give that power and that hope and that, like you said, you know, with Jenny, somebody believing in you, you know, and I just hope that everybody can find that somebody somewhere, somehow, you know, because a lot of times we hear spirit, we hear whatever inside of us that says, let's do this. And the external world doesn't fall into place within 6 days. It doesn't fall into place in, you know, 1 month like mine did for my interpreting. It doesn't fall into place, you know, all the time like some of these wonderful things. You know, instead we have the, you know, the Michael Jordans that have to practice years and years and years to get where they are. But following that passion. So I guess it's like, how do you find, first of all, that's one of the things would be, how do you find that rhythm? Is there anything you can suggest on that?
and or how do you find the person to support that rhythm once you find it, if it's off stream?
How do you find the rhythm and how do you find the support? The first thing that comes to me
is... How did you find it?
Yeah. Believe. It has... You know, I... Believe and receive. And... There are people there for very, very, very many years. I wasn't willing to believe what they would say, right? So I shut it out. Certainly, so receiving from the world around us, listening for those messages. Looking in the right places, you know, you can't get blood from a rock or whatever that saying is.
Mm-hmm.
My husband has a favorite saying, it's insane, you know, it's practicing insanity to keep going back to the same place and expecting different results. Being willing to look different places. Maybe you hear about Purpose Talk Radio and something intrigues you. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Be willing to invest. Be willing to call in. Be willing to risk stepping out of your comfort zone. And then take the next step. Whatever the next step is, little or big. You heard something, Cindy. You heard when I happened to just say, well, counting, just write it down. That's a step. That's a huge step, and you were willing to hear it.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying is just be open to whatever that is, however you get it. You don't necessarily have to look for it once you're open to it. It will find you in a lot of cases.
Well, I'm laughing because had you told me that 12 years ago, I'd have laughed in your face and turned the other direction, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, maybe 15 years ago, Cindy.
15.
And so I almost hesitate because if you're out there listening and you're hearing, yeah, right, just put yourself out there and it'll show up. You're ready to run. And there is a balance, okay? There's a balance between concrete steps of the sort you know to take in this lifetime and trusting the universe and listening for messages and hearing what people are saying. But I do believe that the messages are out there, however we might find them. And, you know, for me it was, in addition to a life coach, and I had never heard of coaching, falling into my path at my spiritual community. Oh, Jean, I'm going to be a life coach. What's that, Mary Pat? I listened. I was willing. I went, okay, sure. Why not? Not believing. And she bowled me over. Janice Stanfield was another one of those people along my path. That was an amazing, lovely accident. It was another friend who said, you really should hear this woman's music. And she loaned me a CD, and the one she loaned me, I thought, that was okay. She's coming to your city, you know. She's coming to town. Let's go listen to her. And we did. And Jana was coming back 6 weeks later to our town twice in 2 months. I mean, come on. And a little voice inside of me, a very, very, very scared little voice, said, "Jean, send her an email. Ask her to look at your website. Ask her to listen to your music. Maybe she'll give you some feedback." Now, I could have ignored the voice. I could have said, "Yeah, right, this woman does this professionally, like, who am I?" But something inside of me said, "Take the risk." She later told me, "You know, I get thousands of emails. I read, you know, I'm only able to read, you know, maybe 1%. I opened yours. And I bothered to click on your website. I don't know why, but okay, I did." And when she came back to town, we spent 3 hours together. And she was one of those angels who said, "Jean, you are a songwriter. You may not be published yet, but you have a gift. And here's a few other things you might want to know." Those people are out there for us. They sometimes really fall in our lap, and they sometimes require us to take a big step on our own behalf. I took a step, and she met me a thousandfold.
And had you not taken that step, you and I would not have met at a Janis Stanfield gig. I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
I bet that is very, very true. It's that, I can't help as you say that and as I sit here with my hands in the air, weaving this very unplannable, unpredictable, yet totally perfect chain of events. And each of us is part of that chain for so many, you know, ourselves and so many others.
And we'll go just a step further. Had I not been putting on Facebook that I was a songwriter, had not gotten a hold of one of the former co-hosts, Barbara, had not been writing music, we wouldn't be sitting here during the interview or doing Blog Talk Radio today.
That's true.
Talk about the intricacies, again, of spirit. You never know what you say to somebody or not say to somebody that may change your life as well as theirs and put them in sync with what they're supposed to be doing.
Wow. And you are pointing so strongly at our thoughts, our words, and our actions are impacting others. How do you want to impact those around you? Do you ever think about that?
Well,
I didn't used to think about that. And I am now ever so grateful for a skill in coaching called acknowledgement. And, you know, you asked before, where do I find my support? Well, I certainly find my support in my coach. And the skill of acknowledgement has invited me to acknowledge everyone, anywhere, all the time. The clerk at the grocery store. You know, the person walking down the street. The persons I live with, who too often might get the negative piece, you know, the person that I can be the worst with. Well, no, what if I can be the best with that person?
Cindy, you have acknowledged me so, so often along my walk. Been there to say how much, you know, you appreciate the power of my words, the power of my music. Your words, your acknowledgments, your affirmations keep me going. And I get to pass that on. Your willingness to take over this show. I mean, Jan, if you are listening, oh, my God, I so hope you are 1,000% and back with everyone here next week. But in the meantime, your courage to step forward, to lead this show, oh, my. That's just, it's just so powerful. And what an example to everyone else out there who's not quite ready to take that risk, to jump in, and to risk failure, right?
Yes.
Or
risk technology failure.
and yet, here we are, and working. So thank you for taking a risk, because if you hadn't, I wouldn't be here, right?
Yes.
Whew.
Okay. Now we get to the tough stuff. Who's out there listening? Who's out there listening that wants to step out? Who wants to find out and acknowledge for themselves what they want to be doing to get in rhythm with whatever they're supposed to be doing? I'm going to invite folks to, if you have not seen the card that's posted with the announcement for the show, please do that. And I know we've got the website posted also. If nothing else, you can click on that. And there's some questions that you've asked people to look at. And as they're looking at that,
there's a couple of things. I would invite people to look at them, call in, discuss, maybe allow you a little opportunity to challenge them a little bit.
Just a little bit.
As to, you know, and leading direction as to what they might be able to do. And then call into the show. And like, hopefully a couple of our folks maybe are a little less hesitant to call. And I know I've got two people on here, but I'm not sure if they're really holding for the show or they're holding because I know one of them was holding, she's going to moderate, and the other one I don't know is really supposed to be calling or not. So I do want to check on that. And while I do that, maybe you can give that, if you've got it handy, the website of the card, if people don't have it.
I can do that.
Also, just a little bit about what exactly you are doing now, is to summarize and bring this back to how different things are. And I'm going to see if I can get in.
Okay, I can do that, Cindy. So if you're out there on the Facebook page for Purpose Talk Radio, you will see the Out of Rhythm coaching card. If you'd like to go to my website, that website is songsforyourspirit.com. All one word, SONGSFORYOURSPIRIT.com. And that's just the easiest way to get there, because once you're there, there is a link for inspiration cards in the tabs across the top. And once you get there, you'll find that they are rotating in front of you, and Out of Rhythm is a blue and white card that's going to pop up. And it has questions. I mean, the Well, Cindy, you asked me to talk about what I'm doing now. My latest creative endeavor, okay, are the coaching cards, which, again, were just part of me having fun with collaging and turned out to be, wait a minute, these collages are speaking and they're drawing out the kinds of questions that a coach would ask. So if you're sitting there thinking about calling in, whether or not you've found the card, get on the phone. Here's a couple questions to pick from, okay? One question. What is the source of your inner strength? What is the source of your inner strength? Maybe you'd like to respond to, so what are you juggling? You know, some of us have way too many balls in the air. Maybe you have just the right amount. And here's one last one to think about. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you juggling? Or what is the source of your inner strength? I invite you to write in, call in, and share your answer. Or maybe you just want to speak to where you're out of rhythm. What do we got going on here?
Well, I have to say that I believe I disconnected someone with a 920773 number, which means you may know who that might be. But I don't know. I'm just guessing because it would be from your area. But I think I disconnected them instead of them, or they hung up as I was trying to get them in to find out which they were doing.
So we get to invite them to try again, right?
Yes, exactly. So I do invite you, if you want to be on the air, to please call back. But if you don't want to be on the air, call back and finish listening to the show.
That's a big one. If you're scared, if you really don't want to hear yourself talk, call in anyway. Make this the day that you take a big risk on your behalf. Or let's say you take a big step and really, you know, we don't bite too hard, do we, Cindy?
Nah.
Okay. You left the teeth at home, right?
We're creatives. We can't.
Yeah, we don't know how. Oh, my. Well, while we're waiting, you know, when you think about life right now for you, Cindy, what source is your inner strength?
I think for me it's what is my final, what do I see as my final outcome? And again, I don't want to throw names out there, but as part of it, it's again working with Jen on a different level. Because she has encouraged me to continue with the interpreting and with the signing, and that's, you know, the direction she has, we've connected on. And I know that because of that connection, I went to the POSI Awards and did what I did there, and back, you know, planning to be back again at some point when we get the audience for that. And being able to combine the songwriting and the interpreting and the arts and the living something that once I thought was not a dream, because 30 years ago it wasn't, that now I see myself on stage, crossing the stage for graduation, for instance, in spite of all of the challenges that are going on in between. So I guess that's the picture.
It's the picture, it's the vision that you hold of where you're going that actually becomes the strength for getting there.
Right. In spite of all of the pieces that are in between saying, this is ridiculous, starting with age and, you know, skills that I lost, and the blindness and the not blindness and the, all of that, and the challenges that come with things. Yes, the final picture is there, and then there are people who stand behind me saying, "You said you were going to do that. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the other side here." You know, like you said, you're one of them. Jenny's one of them. Again, we got some circles that I wasn't even realizing and remembering are intertwined here. You know, other people in my spiritual circle. You know, and then there are the ones that don't support it, that I have to also remember are still part of the path. And their challenge to not, to tell me why not to do it, are sometimes even more reason for me to do it.
Wow. You are speaking so powerful, Cindy. You are getting strength. Because before you asked me where support comes from, and you're indicating that you have some wonderful support, people, systems in your life, and you are garnering support by using what's showing up in your life to your advantage rather than your disadvantage. You're hearing maybe that they're saying, "You can't. This will get in your way. Why bother?" And you're actually turning those messages around and saying, "Oh, yes, I can. And thanks for pointing me in that direction, but I'm going to go further." So even the quote-unquote negative things in our life can be very powerful in a good way.
Yep.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, just thinking, exactly. You know, think of some of this stuff a few years ago, and, you know, that wouldn't have been the case. I look at, again, who I've met, why I've met, and we're back to that again. And a few years ago, I wasn't this person. A few years ago, it was like, okay, you told me I can't do that, and so you must be right. And yet when I was a kid, it was, don't you dare tell me I can't do that, because I will definitely prove you wrong. And it's nice to be back in that circle. And I just realized that was there. You know, the trust and faith of a child. Yeah. That we talk about.
Is, you know, kid never will say, you tell a kid no, what's the next thing you're doing? They're doing it.
They're doing it. So you are regaining access to that inner strong voice in you, that inner childlike, I mean, the child is pure strength, pure courage, pure fearlessness, you know, the young child, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't lose that. We cover it up, but we don't lose it.
I'm going to take somebody off hold because I'm going to challenge her. She doesn't know I'm taking her off hold.
Are you being mean, Cindy?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to bring somebody in who a while ago, Anna, like earlier this week, Anna Weber contacted me and said, "I am being nudged to do something for the show." Now, we're writing with each other in a magazine. She had didn't know the show, didn't have any, you know, what was going on, all of that. And yet,
step forward today to help moderate. Now, unfortunately, again, technology for her is not working, was not working. We didn't have her logged in properly, that kind of thing. And Sharon has been doing a great job over on that conversations page. Thank you, Sharon. And thank you, Anna. I'm going to take you off mute, Anna. And if this system will let me. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Anna? Hello. Yes. And
hi.
I'm going to ask you what it felt like to follow through on that nudge to step forward this week.
Well, it's fortunate for me at my age that I've experienced this frequently enough that I now know not to ignore it. So it just felt right. I've learned to live my life on purpose. I've learned to be open-minded. I guess that my path is what I understand it to be. However, the opportunities that come up are sometimes just kind of out of left field, and they're not necessarily how you may have envisioned them. But when you look back in retrospect, you think, oh, my goodness, why did I not see it as exactly that? And so it's just, in part, it's my knowingness from having had the courage to go ahead and as your guest had stated, to have that strength and courage and fearlessness and move out. And after a while, it becomes more of a norm, not something that you become complacent about, certainly, because there's an exciting edge about it that's just unbelievable. But you become much more comfortable in doing it and acknowledging it. And so in that comfort, it's still always a surprise. I do have to say that. But I do say that the fear is diminished significantly.
Oh, Anna, I love it. I thank you for sharing how the fear diminishes. It doesn't quite become the norm because it's exciting, but it begs the question, what next? Do you ever wonder?
Oh, I think I do. I think that's where the excitement comes from, because once you have made an agreement with yourself and your place of spirit that you will live a life of purpose and you acknowledge what that purpose is, that what next question is always there. And I think that you had made a statement a while ago about, you know, just stepping out there and not asking the how. I think that probably is the biggest thing to get around. It's a barrier, because we're always, I think that we're inclined to set goals and to set objectives and to have our action plans. And as a literary strategist and much of my adult life, I work in strategic planning. I have to tell you that it's a real discord with my personality to a certain extent to step back from all of that strategic planning and just allow things to be that are meant to be. And so the what next is the exciting part.
Wow. I love how you're describing, you know, similar to my journey, that disconnect from what you really, I'm a guessing and assuming you became pretty good at, you know, strategy, planning, making things happen in logical sequence, to being present, being open, trusting, showing up, saying yes, and then figuring out the next step and how.
Well, and I think that the receptiveness to knowing that the universe, you say that the universe is going to step up there for you. And the awareness that you have to develop and embrace, not just develop, but embrace also, that awareness to all of the things around you, things that in the past probably would have just been non-pulsed and worked their way by you, and the more you allow yourself to be sensitized to them, the more you're willing to lean into those nudgings, then the more cognizant you become and the more enriched you become by seeing how the universe is stepping up and lifting you up above yourself.
how would you describe, or what points would you share about how to do that, how to become willing to become sensitive to universal nudge, the things that you'd previously closed the door on? How have you done that?
Well, for myself, I'm 63 years old, and I have to say that it didn't happen to me in my 30s. I was just very left-brained. I was a clothing designer for 17 years, so there was that creative side of me, but all of my clothing design came from the math and the science, and I was creative, but people would say, oh my gosh, you're so creative, and I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I'm just using math functions. I'm using science. You know, to me, there was that whole left-brained, controlled, strategized approach, and I think that the different events that happened to me in life that I did not expect to happen to me, and the different journeys that my life almost was taken on a path that was not of my design, were the things that taught me to listen to the nudging. Because when you have to look at something in retrospect, and you have to have known that at some point you adapted or embraced or accepted, not out of a weakness or an acquiescence, but, and for me, it's left brain common sense, that I knew that if there was that amount of things in life pummeling at me, that there had to be some substance or some reason. And so I, you know, you step back and you analyze and you assess, and again, that left brain part of me of making best business practice decisions and best life decisions, you do those. And I think it's only in the retrospect that you look at how they came to you and you assess how they modified your life. And it is that retrospect that teaches you to be excited then about that next step. So I don't think that it's necessarily a blueprinted, defined process that you can go through. I think that probably spiritually, intellectually, health issues, there's a myriad of things that come tumbling at us in life. And it's taking the time to be peaceful and calm and looking at what your journey has been to date and how it all makes sense. And then once I think that you are open to that, I think that the moving forward with the excitement and the embracing more of those nudgings, that's where, for me, myself, that's where I ultimately was able to start paying closer attention to the future by embracing what I had already experienced. Not just taking it for granted, but the gratitude that you speak of and the open-mindedness and all of those things coming together, finding that quiet space in your heart and your mind and your spirit to see how did all of these little pieces of the puzzle fit together? And once you start looking at that and making an assessment of it and being open-minded to it, I think then that's where more of it comes to you and with greater frequency.
Wow. How beautifully put, Anna. And I couldn't agree with you more, that taking the time to look back, to appreciate, to make sense of, you know, when you talk about finding quiet space, I think that's sometimes is really hard to do these days if we are on that busy roll forward. You were creating the next design. You know, it logically made sense. I was writing the next computer program running. Pausing long enough to take a look back and be willing to see how the pieces fell together. You know, for me, it was at one point, thank God I married an alcoholic. And I mean that in sincerity. Thank God I fell in love with someone who pointed me at in a direction I needed to go in order to grow. And that was one of those things that without pausing, I wouldn't have noticed.
Well, I think it's some of the bumps in the road that are there, you know, they become a part of the journey that grows us. You know, if everything was a piece of cake and we moved forward, we would never have reason to pause and say, why did that happen to me? and then we would never have time to really make the assessment as to why it did, how it manifested itself in our lives, how it changed our lives. And I think that, you know, ultimately I come to a point of where I'm kind of non-pulsed about change because I have this very, not a negative, but a very passionate belief that the only constant in my life is change.
And it's so true, and it's especially evident in the time frame that we're living, right? But how delightful that would be, how rich if I could be, you say non-pulsed, potentially even excited. What's here? What's here for me to learn? How can I grow here? It is going to be different. Not how can I stay the same, how can I stay in rhythm with life the way I know it, but rather what's here that's inviting me to open up.
Well, I really like the introduction to your phrase of being in rhythm with life, because that probably is something that I may have experienced but was not able to put a name to it. And I think any time you can identify something either visually or with words, then it has a tendency to leave its footprints on your heart. And that whole idea of being in rhythm with life is really a beautiful analogy, because if you think about the give and take, the ebb and tide, the flow, the stop, the go, all of it is just such a natural part of our lives. So instead of getting stressed and upset and, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Just see it as a part of that natural rhythm of your life. You're going to have a totally different perception, and in having a totally different perception, you're obviously going to respond in a much more positive way, and that positiveness is going to come back to be a win-win for you or the person that you're working with, the person that you're helping to support. So just having that anchor in your head and your heart about that whole rhythm of life. For me, from today forward, I know I'm going to be changed by just that phrase, and keeping that as an anchor, that I'll look at a lot of things differently in assessing now how does that fit into my life rhythm? Not just the life path and the life journey, but the rhythm, because there is the change, the musicality, the intonation. There's so many elements there. You're talking about your music and all of that, so I could see huge visions even tying it into that. But it's something that is just a beautiful analogy. So I have to thank you for that.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for calling it out and where you went with that, and even the music analogy there. Music has fast and slow, rest and notes, right? Dissonance and harmony. Ebb and flow. It's all of it. One of the exercises, and every one of you listening, try this, that I got in a leadership program was, imagine if we only were willing to accept part of the rhythm of the breath cycle. Okay? The cycle of breath is a breath in and a breath out. Without harming yourself, take in a breath. And don't allow the rest of the flow. Only the in-breath is good. Only the taking in is good. And never let go. I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to hold on here. And pretty soon I'm going to need to exhale, because we need the full cycle. It is a cycle. And I'm going to let it go.
Yes, stronger lungs than I do.
Yeah, mine was not a long time ago. I worked on that one, no. And you were talking, so I don't know how you kept it.
Oh.
Yoga.
Yeah, probably. Or singing, Wow. Well, Anna, you are not 63 years old. You are 63 years young.
Oh, yeah. I've got 103 years left yet.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And but there are certain advantages of having had more years and more experiences, let me tell you.
Well, I am 53 years young, and I don't know who I'll be when I grow up. And since I probably will never grow up, you know, it's just this endless moving toward and claiming new and different things along the way.
Well, that's why I decided I have to live as long as I have to, because there's so many things yet that I need to do and I'm supposed to do and want to do.
And I'm guessing some of those you see and some you don't yet see?
Correct. Because I think as we evolve and as the world evolves, there's just such a plethora of different opportunities that are going to just be there. And I'm very excited about embracing them.
Yeah, and where will the world be when you are 166, right?
Right.
I have to wonder if any of our other listeners are out there thinking, oh, my God, isn't this a pretty cool way to look at life? Not when will I get it right? When will I be done with this? How do I figure it out? But what more is possible? What's out there? Curious if there's anyone who'd love to join the conversation, because this is, it just energizes me to know that there are Annas and Cindy's and Jan's and all the people who have touched our lives out there really lifting themselves and in so doing lifting humanity to that next layer of seeing the possibilities.
Well, I think that's a large part of our, in my life, responsibility or purpose, whatever word that you want to apply to it. I don't think that we come here to do things for ourselves or by ourselves. And so it's a constantness of looking around you, and whatever level you have evolved to, there's going to be a different, wonderful experience for you to embrace as you share those additional pieces of knowledge and wisdom and skills with those around you that have not yet gotten to that level. So you are just, you know, short-circuiting the journey that they have to take, and not necessarily removing so that they don't have their own journey, but being that wisdom master and that type of thing that makes it possible for people to get through their journey less painfully with more wisdom and all of that. And I do think that as change agents and wisdom keepers, I do think that there is a purpose for that person in life.
And I think what I hear you speaking to is we all get to be that.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
You know, because we're all on our own path. Right? And it certainly is not an evolutionary path up. It is really just, well, it's all directions, it's intertwined, and usually the best teachers are simply those that are just one step beyond where we are. And I am one step beyond where someone else is, and to the extent that we're willing to step forward with all of who we are right now and let that be seen, it's to that extent that we have the potential to be part of this human evolution, be part of helping the next person take a leap.
Well, if you think historically of how things went kind of slowly for, you know, centuries and centuries, and then the accelerated pace that has come along, and I think it is the sharing of that wisdom that has accelerated all those things that we're not necessarily able to learn, but to know and to experience. You know, as you talk about the size of the computer, and I can remember my first home computer was a Commodore 64 back in 1984, and I think of the changes that I have seen
from, you know, just that. And there's a part of me that's almost jealous of what my grandchildren have as a learning experience. I think of the knowledge that has just the ability for them to have access to the knowledge that I was not able to have at their age. You know, we had books and encyclopedias, certainly, but nothing compared to the level of knowledge that my grandchildren and children have had the luxury of. And I think that, you know, just participating in bringing that to a continuing generation is just exciting to me. But there's also a level of responsibility in my giving back to the world that I can't take what I have and put it in a shoebox and cling jealously to it. In order for me to be a change agent and to be a wisdom keeper, there is no recourse for me other than to be out there sharing it.
Yes. I got caught by your putting it in a shoebox place, because as I'm sitting in my coaching / music space, there was this point in time where I realized the songs I write are doing not a whole lot of good sitting in my living room. They need to be shared.
Absolutely.
And that's what I can share. So we're all part of it. We are all part of it. I'm wondering if there is there's a way, or if it's time to maybe invite our listeners into a little bit of dreaming, of claiming their own magnificence. Maybe just a couple minutes of some guided thoughts for y'all. So I'm going to take a leap and invite you to get comfortable. Be comfortable in your space. Make your body relaxed. If you're holding on to a phone to be a part of this, you know, maybe you can rest it on your shoulder. Close your eyes for a moment. Taking a step out of physical life as we know it, and turning into that inner source that is within. So as I sit here in my chair, closing my eyes, taking in a deep breath, letting it go, just invite yourself to be with a few questions. Listen within for your particular answers. Oh, I wonder, what are your gifts? What is it that you bring into the world unlike no one around you? What do you know? What happens when you share your gifts? How are they received? Or maybe, have you ever held back in fear of how they would be received? What are you hiding from the world? what's one possibility, one magical idea that maybe you've thought but haven't acted on? Bring that into your awareness right now. You, in rhythm, the magic of being all that you are. What does it feel like to really let yourself be that amazing you? What do you notice in your emotional being? Your energetic being? What do you think? You know that someone receiving you right now, what's the impact you're having on them? On this place of whole, amazing, beautiful you. You are powerful. You are part of humankind, human evolution. Humans intimately working together toward all of our growth, expansion, goodness. Invite you to consider stepping out, taking a risk, sharing you in one small way each day. Maybe it's a new habit, so it's a 21-day experiment. And take the time to look back, to notice. Notice the change in you and those around you, all from your willingness to be who you are. In a deep breath and let it go. Another deep breath. And as you return to the present moment, jot down some notes. Make a commitment to be you. So what's happening out there?
bring everybody back into non-silence, huh? We have Sharon on the line. I would like to either ask some questions or participate here. So I'm going to unmute her and let her speak because she had some comments up on the conversations page that I think she needs to share with you as well. Hi, Sharon.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. We have, I guess, a foursome now. We could also play Internet Bridge.
There you go. Well, I put Anna back on hold so she can go back to conversations for us. So.
Oh, so Anna's going to do the conversation now.
Yes.
Great.
I'm glad there's two of you today. That makes it much easier.
Well, I'm sure. You know, I think actually we're all ADD. It just, we didn't know it was a disorder.
We didn't know what? I missed that.
We didn't know that it was a disorder. I think it's a normal, healthy part of we've all of a sudden called it ADD. And then, of course, I have this this joke on myself, really. I skipped first grade, and that's when you learn how to do arithmetic. And there are classes. Math has never been one of my gifts. Let's put it that way. So I am very left brain for a right brain person, but I've really been enjoying all of the tech talk and the organizational talk today. Good for me.
Well, I'm glad.
I appreciate that, Sharon.
And I do think I think one of the big questions that I've been hearing today And I've been sort of asking myself, too, is about the whole issue of support. And I think, of course, first we have to support ourselves, and then, as you were saying earlier, to ask the right person who can support you. Sometimes people really are willing and enthusiastic, but they're just not capable of giving the kind of support that we need, or they might not understand exactly what it is we're looking for. And I don't know that we always are totally aware of what sort of support we need.
I think that's very true, and that's a beautiful point you make, Sharon, because there is support that Hello?
I'm here.
Yep. I'm listening. I just heard an extremely loud whine.
Wow. Didn't hear
it. It's gone now. The kind of support I need is not whining in my ear.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what that is. Anyway, I'm listening. I wasn't whining. It's not that I've never whined, but I'm not right now.
Oh, my God. And I have whined, and I didn't hear you whining, but, boy, the sharp sound. Anyway, you were pointing to making good choices in the kind of support we bring into our lives. And there is support that brings us down. There might be support that is just affirming and keeping us where we are. Oh, that's great, that's good, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the kind of support that I want around me are people or systems, whatever it is, that invite me into more. That invite me to take that next step. You know, yeah, that's great, Jean, and what about? So how about you, Sharon, when you think of kinds of support?
You know, I think there's a yoga story about Ganesha, who is the elephant head god. Oh, and my son just got a good grade on his chemical engineering test. So that's exciting. But I wanted to go back to in the Hindu, in the yoga world, there's the elephant-headed god Ganesha. And it's Ganesha's job to actually go in front of you and remove obstacles. However, if you're going in the wrong direction, it's Ganesha's job to put obstacles in your way. So I think, and if you have the magic answer for this, I would love it. But I think there's learning discernment of, am I really walking in? Is there something else I need to do? Is there a direction I need to turn? In other words, you think you're headed in the right direction, but it's not quite flowing. And I think, as Cindy said earlier, just because everything doesn't manifest instantly, it doesn't mean that you have the wrong vision or the wrong idea. But I think it's possible to, well, as we were doing with the breath exercise before, you can hold on to a breath longer than it's really serving you. And at the same time, it's learning to breathe fully and learning to hold on to a breath long enough. So my question is, I guess in the discernment, my question is if you have advice on discernment.
What a beautiful, deep question. Thank you for that. Magic answer, of course not. An answer that works for me, I'll share what came up as you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to believe that two things. The answers are within. My answer, where I need to look to discern, I'm only going to find it in me. That's one thing. And another side is, I have heard there are really no wrong paths. You know, as long as we, you know, and Anna was speaking about change. If we head down a path, and even if we're there too long, we learn something, and then we can shift, right? We may not like that we had to learn that, but we learn something.
Mm-hmm.
I think my personal journey has been one of ever-growing, widening, and deepening my awareness of my internal knowing. And to the extent that I wasn't willing to look there and I just kept looking outside of myself and asking you and you and them and noticing how you and you and you do it, I was looking for the answers outside, which were never mine. And I got into judgment and comparing and making poor choices for me, holding the breath too long, throwing out the baby with the bathwater because it didn't look right. Or I didn't look right in comparison to Jana Stanfield, so I better go on that path longer because she's got the right path. So the challenge and the opportunity around this for me was regular, daily looking within. And the thing that Anna talked about later of, you know, looking backwards and seeing truths, you know, for me it was looking backward and claiming truths. It was daily sitting quietly or sitting with what Julia Cameron calls brain drain journaling and letting my inner voice come out. What I found after decades of, really only about a decade of serious work with the brain drain, but, you know, longer of listening within is that my body, my being is an amazing, amazing, amazing machine or creature. And I hear the tension, I hear the stress, I hear the tears, the answers are there. Most recently, finally becoming willing to do regular meditation, regular even letting go of writing and sending ideas out and just going to that place of listening. And then I know. And then I know if this is right or this is right. I had to trust. And then practice.
That's beautiful. Could you share more what you mean by brain drain journaling? Are you just writing any thought that comes up, or what does brain drain journaling mean?
Oh, my God. I love her brain drain, which is, it's an assignment if you choose to work the artist's way, which I did and I have taught several times. Brain drain is, by her definition, first thing in the morning, 3 pages of longhand writing, you know, no typing, of just brain page. If this is not complete sentences, this is just, oh my gosh, my body hurts and I've got so much to do today. Oh, just letting everything fall out onto the page. Doesn't have to make sense.
Vomiting with a pencil in hand.
Oh, that is beautiful. It is literally vomiting. You got it. With whatever writing device you choose to put in your hand.
Yeah.
And
I suppose you could use a crayon or a pen or any number of things.
You can use anything you want. And I have had people in my classes who draw their morning pages. I had a woman who knit her morning pages. Now, I'm a word person, so the words worked for me, but the concept, I think, and what I came to find out is it's the vomit, good grief woman, is stuffing down the deeper truths.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuffing down our creativity. It's keeping us from what's really ours to share. So by letting it come out, what can happen is the miracle of, oh my gosh, what an idea. Or I've had serious, oh my, that's why I'm afraid to go to work today.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Knowing I didn't know. I've had poetry fall out of brain drain.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what happens, I let it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your experience with anything like this?
You know, I haven't done a lot of journaling recently, and I guess I've been fairly sporadic. The idea of painting it sounds quite quite entertaining, though I like to play with words too. But I like that idea of just vomiting it out, because as I said earlier, I'm pretty left brain for a right brain person, so there's actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Moshe Feldenkrais, who created the Feldenkrais system, this movement, that he literally wrote a book called The Elusive Obvious, which is like, it's right in front of your face, but we just don't see it. That also, of course, is how we start, you know, holding things in our bodies, holding stiffness and things that we don't even know are there. And I can so speak to what you were saying about the computer is kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time. I wouldn't be talking to you if these wonderful machines didn't exist. But at the same time, we tend to sit in odd positions while we're doing it. And that probably would be something that would come out for me in morning pages. I know I have in from time to time I'll have people come down from Silicon Valley to do yoga just to refresh, to hit their personal refresh button, their physical refresh button.
Two things I want to comment on. One is, as you bring up, you know, this idea and focus on the brain drain, to everyone else who's listening, consider trying it. And when I first heard write 3 pages every morning, which take half an hour, 45 minutes, by the way, scared the crap out of me. And I agreed with myself that I would start with 5 minutes of vomiting on the page.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
You know, just because I was too left brain, right? And I had a schedule to keep. So find a way to make it work, but try it. For me, I couldn't, it just kept growing and growing and growing, and it became gift. The other thing, and just this takes us back to something we were talking about earlier, how the universe plants seeds for us and guides us, right? You know, maybe the seed you got is brain drain is going to open up something to you. You mentioned Feldenkrais. I have to tell you that it's on my list because my son pointed me at this method of body awareness. And, Mom, there's a teacher in Nina, 10 miles from your house, and you should do this. And I haven't yet gotten there. So I'm intrigued that it comes up today. Very intrigued.
I'm sure it was just a cosmic coincidence. You do know who that is. It's the CCCC. Someone the CCCC. That is the Cosmic Coincidence Coordinating Committee.
Oh, got it. Operating always on our behalf. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure that they are under the auspices of Lord Ganesha, one of his sub armies of guiding grace.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you the cosmic forces actually filled nearly 2 hours of show, folks, and we weren't sure how the hour was going to go, so we're getting close to wrapping this up.
Isn't it wonderful how that happens, though?
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm going to sign off now. And thank you so much, Anna, for doing the page. And I've really appreciated your suggestions, both Cindy and Jean. And I'm delighted to have been part of the show today.
We were delighted to have you, Sharon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being over this.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, my gosh, Cindy. I was not watching a clock. How quickly the time does go.
Yeah, we were going, if nobody calls in and nothing happens, what are we going to do? Yes. Amazing how that happened.
Yeah. So... anyway, so we have a few minutes, I think, before wrap up.
Yep, that's about what you've got. If there's something you want to close out with and or we'd like to do, we usually have an affirmation of the day also. So if you have,
great. If
not, I can collect some thoughts on that. Or if there's something else you'd like to close out with before we do the housekeeping.
Well, while I hadn't planned for it, I think just maybe recapping and thinking about what we heard t- today. And for those of you listening, even if you want to, you know, take a look back at some of the things on that, on the card, on the front, I mean, what we experienced from beginning in that kind of out of rhythm, technology challenged place, right? Mm-hmm. And as we trusted and allowed and went with the flow, mind you, I'm inviting you into this space for your own lives, okay? We found magic. We found a give and take balance with Sharon, Anna, showing up, coming into the conversation. We found focus and meaning and taking the next step. You get to do this. You get to do this every day. You get to clear the clutter, brain drain, vomit perhaps, and go within and find and discern your own answers. That's where they are. You get to come back to Purpose Talk Radio next week. You know, you get to hear more positive ideas. You get to look for support in all the right places. You get to be support because you might be the person who knows about Purpose Talk Radio, about positive thinking, and the guy next to you doesn't. Share what you know. Be the change. Find your rhythm. And find you, and thank you, Anna, find you in the rhythm of life. And Cindy, thank you. Thank you for giving me this gift of being able to do this with you for the first time in my life, you know, taking that next big, bold step outward. So what a gift.
Thank you. Thank you for being on here. And I heard a couple other things from you that I just want to reiterate here. You know, looking within to find those answers. Using both sides of the brain, even when we don't think we have one or the other. We're hearing from pretty much all of us going, well, we thought we were this brain. Oh, well, but if we consider, you really do need both sides of the brain. And there was a graphic that I found that I'll post the link to that said experience equals the left side, which is the usability and the analytical, and the right side, which is the design and the creative. It's the only way you get the experience is to have both sides. I want to make sure as we go through this, we experience both sides of our lives and both sides of our brain.
Mm.
You know, searching outside of what might be the normal box, might be the normal job, the normal whatever. We got to look beyond that because that may be where our answers really lie, not following what somebody else thinks we should, but finding those people of support and realizing that every single person in all the situations can actually help bring us into the rhythm where we should be. You know, using that analogy, that music again, you know, a drum beat's a drum beat. Not really. A drum beat for, you know, jazz is one thing, for the rock is something else, for a posse song is something else. And it may look different, and it may sound different, but the reality is it still comes from a drum. It still comes what we might experience from a different person, you know, is still an experience that we need to have to be on the path that we need to be on.
Yeah.
So.
Our path, as you say.
Yes.
You
not
need
somebody else's. So, I want to have, we have 5 minutes to wrap up, and I want people to know how to contact you. If they decide to do
awesome.
That.
Awesome. I can do that. There are several ways, and absolutely you can find me through my website. So, for sure, songsforyourspirit.com, and from there you'll find email address, which is songsforyourspirit at new.rr.com. But I have a Facebook page. It's also songs.for.your.spirit. So I'm on Facebook. And you can find me any of those ways. And for me, it's all about sharing the wealth. So there's inspiration everywhere. Music, writing, poetry, just enjoy. But be in touch. Happy to converse, happy to coach, happy to hear your comments, happy to hear your growth. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks. And please make sure you do continue the discussion, the conversation, page on Facebook. Jean has some time. She'll stop over there between today and tomorrow. And we'll post the contact information over there. Just a reminder again that hopefully Jan will be back next week. If you'd like to sponsor the show, you can do so by going to purposetalkradio.com. Go to purposetalkradio.com, click on the sponsor tab, and that will take you to be able to contact Jan and let her know what you are or are willing to be able to do. We can also take donations just to help out paying for the show so that it can continue. I guess for the affirmation today, real quickly, I'm thinking, unless you had one really quick, Jean.
I am unique. My voice matters.
Say it again.
I am unique. My voice matters.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. And I want to thank Sharon and Anna again for moderating over on the other side there. And thank you, Jean, for being a part of this show and sharing your experiences with us and talking to us how from outer rhythm into our own personal rhythm.
Mm-hmm. You are welcome, Cindy. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And with that, I'll turn to you too. I am who I am.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.